Welcome to Word Explosion with Reverend Simon Akofo, head pastor of Grace Hope Chapel. Do you need direction in life? Are you yearning for a closer walk with God? Are you desiring to be fruitful? The Word of God provides the answers. Feast on God's Word and let the grace of God envelop you as you listen to this life-changing message. Be blessed. Reaching out to the world.
Father, tonight I ask you to speak to me a word in season that will transform my life in the year 2017. I am opening up my spirit to you. I want to be a better person this year by all standards. And so tonight, as we begin 2017, bring to me a word in season that will bless my life and shape my life for a better 2017. I declare by faith tonight that I shall be blessed. I shall receive teachings from heaven that will guide my life in the year 2017. I give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Shall we pray? Father, we exhort you for another year, a beautiful year by all standards, a year that holds promise for your children. Thank you that once you have caused us to cross over to see 2017, you have good things in store for us. And so we look into the future with a lot of confidence, and we know we shall become better people starting from today. And so in the next 40 minutes, my Father, I ask you to speak through this clay, the unadulterated word of God. Let it come forth as always with power, with precision, with clarity, and with deep conviction of the Spirit. We promise to give you praise when it's all said and done. Thank you for utterance. Let preaching and teaching be easy tonight. Let the rains come like showers on tender plants. May it yield fruits 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold, and even 1,000-fold beginning from today in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Turn your Bibles with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 33. 2 Chronicles chapter number 33. We are going to read from, when you go home, please read from verse 1 to 17. 1 to 17. But because of time, we will read verse 1 to 5. Then we'll jump to 10 and continue to 17. Shall we read, please? Let's stand on our feet. Let's read. Try and follow the story. Are you with me? Can we go? Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king. And he reigned in Jerusalem 55 years. Mercy. He rebuilt the high places his father Hezekiah had demolished. He also erected altars to the Baals and made Asherah poles. He bowed down to all the starry hosts and worshiped them. Mercy. He built altars in the temple of the Lord, of which the Lord has said, my name will remain in Jerusalem forever. In both courts of the temple of the Lord, he built altars to all the starry hosts. Let's jump to 10. The Lord spoke to Manasseh and his people, but they paid no attention. So the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him into Babylon. In his distress, he sought the favor of the Lord his God and humbled himself greatly before the God of his fathers. And when he prayed to him, the Lord was moved by his entreaty and listened to his plea. So he brought him back to Jerusalem and to his kingdom. Then Manasseh knew that the Lord is God. 2017, may you know that the Lord is God. I say, may God do something for you to know that the Lord, he is God. Let's continue. 14. Afterward, he built the outer wall of the city of David, west of the Gihon Spring in the valley, as far as the entrance of the fish gate and encircling the hill of Ophel. He also made it much higher. He stationed military commanders in all the fortified cities in Judah. He got rid of the foreign gods and removed the image from the temple of the Lord, as well as all the altars he had built on the temple hill and in Jerusalem, and he threw them out of the city. I see you throwing out every negativity out of your life. Then he did what? Restored the altar of the Lord and sacrificed what? Thank offerings on it, and took Judah to serve the Lord, the God of Israel. All right? The people, however, continued to sacrifice at the high places, but only to the Lord their God. Amen. Okay, put your hands together for Jesus. Take your seats. Amen. I want to begin what I have titled, Making Smart Changes in Your Life. Hallelujah. Say, making smart changes. Say, making smart changes. Now, we've all heard about smart goals. They say everybody must have smart goals. And they say what? It must be specific, measurable, what? Attainable, realistic, and all that time bound. Amen? But this year, as we began, I was driving home. The Lord said, speak to my people that they don't just have to make smart goals, but they have to make smart changes. Say smart changes. I see that at the end of this year, your life would have been completely turned around. I see significant changes happening in your life. May 2017 never end without you being the same person as you started. May God bring a complete metamorphosis in your life, such that even your enemies will look at you and say something significant has changed in your life. Hallelujah. Lift your hand, tell your neighbor, change is possible. Say, change is possible. Change is here. And change is now. Oh, come on, say, change is possible. Say, I'm changing by the Spirit of God and by the grace of God. Put your hands together for Jesus. You are changing. We are becoming better people by the day. We are being transformed day by day into the image of his only son. Hallelujah. When I look at the story of King Manasseh, I am convinced that you can change. Oh, I said I am convinced that God can transform your life. I am so convinced that you can be a better person. Reading this story alone convinces me that, change is possible. Hallelujah. And you are making smart changes in your life this year, not next year. Hallelujah. As a matter of fact, as I read this story, I noticed that Manasseh, I think he will rank among the first three wicked kings and corrupt kings in the whole of the Israelite history. That is dangerous. I think apart from Ahab, he will come number two in corruption and evil and idolatry. Listen, if you read the Bible very well, you will notice that idolatry is one of the things God can't stand. That one is the most dangerous sin. When you try that one, you will come into direct contention with God. That's why the Ten Commandments, the first command say, I am the Lord thy God, thou shalt have no other image, graven image before me. He can't stand it. He said, I am a jealous God. Am I speaking to somebody? And so God wants to be the sole person that is worshipped because he's the one who created us. And anytime anybody will make any form of idol, you come directly under God's anguish. But what is worse with King Manasseh is the fact that not only did he worship idols, but he brought them into the temple of the Lord. Hey! What a dangerous man. Abomination. He carried the gods and created their altars in the temple of the Lord, where the name of the Lord is supposed to remain forever. God had directly said, my name shall be here forever, he told Solomon when he built the temple. And now this king had the audacity. He came after King Hezekiah. Look at verse 1. And he broke down the great things that his father had done. Reversed every one of them and said, I am bringing my own kind of worship. May this house, may we worship the one only true God. Because it is possible for you to be in the temple of God and you are not worshiping the main God. The one true God, the Savior of the world. You are not worshiping. Many churches today are worshiping something else. Oh, they have brought their own kind of images in the king. It looks like Christianity, but it's not. This guy transported Baal and Asherah. Asherah is the female version of the idol called Baal. So he worshiped the male version and the female version. On top of it, diversity in idolatry worship. Contemporary idolatry worship. Male version, female version. On top of it, the Bible also says that he did what? He worshiped the starry host, the moon, the sun, the stars, anything he could think about. He raised an altar for it and worshipped it. The starry host, anything he saw in the skies, half moon, anything he was worshipping. What a shock. Hallelujah. Today, people are worshipping many things. Oh, people are worshipping money. People are worshipping their jobs. People are worshipping all kinds of idols, but we don't know. People are worshipping their phones. It's an idol. This year, I'm going to preach again, my phone, my idol. Because the phone is an idol. Most of us, we read more WhatsApp than the Bible. Oh, yeah. And the thing, sadly, has become an idol. And we are worshipping. And so this guy introduced all kinds of things that he was worshipping. And also, Bible says, he killed his sons as sacrifice, human sacrifice, on fire. And he practiced sorcery, divination, witchcraft. This guy is dangerous. Very, very dangerous. Bible says he did much evil in the eyes of the Lord, provoking him to anger. God was angry. God was angry. God was determined to destroy this guy. God was angry with him. And verse 10 is even more interesting. The Bible says, and no matter what God spoke to him, Manasseh will not pay attention to the words of God. No matter the preaching that came, my idol is still my idol. See, you can be in a good church where great things are taught. The preaching comes Sunday by Sunday. And you know God is speaking with you, but you have hardened your heart. As for me, this boy, I love him like I'm a tampopo. I will die with him. No matter, I'm telling you, no matter the preaching, I have preached in church for people to go back and tell their boy, Pastor, and they are shaming. And one would have thought that that would be the end of the relationship, but oh, who can cry on me anymore? Who can cry on me anymore? You are tear bread. So it looks like preaching has got no effect on the life of the people. And so no matter what God said and spoke to Manasseh, change your ways. Look at verse 9 before we come to 10.
But Manasseh led Judah and the people of Jerusalem astray, so that they did more evil than the nations the Lord had destroyed before the Israelites. The God's people did more bad than unbelievers. Ish. What a shock. Could it be that today the church does more bad things than people who don't come to church? It's possible. Because everybody goes to church. It was a mighty revelation Sunday. Sunday, 1st January, everybody went to church in the morning. We did ours in the evening. When we closed and we're going home, the traffic, the Onapo traffic, with the mini skirts and show your stomach, you were wondering if in the morning people went to church. But I can assure you, 90% of all those people that had lined up at the nightclubs were in church in the morning. And they, at least they were at the 31st watch night service. But it's a new year. Onapo. What a shock. They did more evil than the nations of the world. And the Bible says, no matter how God spoke to him, yeah, I don't mind. It's my life. I saw it so. And then, I don't mind. They were obstinate. They had hardened their hearts. No change at all until God sent disaster. Until. Ladies and gentlemen, Bible says, so the Lord brought against them the army commanders of the king of Assyria, who took Manasseh prisoner, put a hook in his nose, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. Are you ready for this? Church, I have noticed then that one of the most powerful forces of change is pain. I have noticed with the passage of time that pain, trouble, embarrassment is one of the fastest things that change people. May God deliver us from this. Hallelujah. The Bible says in the devil that when the man saw he was in distress, trouble don't come. The moment the man said that, hey, have I been reduced to a prisoner? Have I been reduced? Look at me today, a hook in my nose. I'm a king. I don't have time tonight. But when you go and read Revelation 2:20 to 22, you will notice the same trend there. He said, if you don't repent, I will cast you on a bed of sickness. Until you know, so oftentimes it looks like pain is what made people repent quickly. But this year, I see you being smarter than that. I see you being smarter than that. You are changing before trouble strikes. You are changing before trouble strikes. Oh, I see you changing before trouble strikes. Lift your hand and say, I change before trouble strikes. Say, Father, I am smarter than that. I change now. Put your hands together for the Lord. I change now. Because of the trouble, the price. Have you noticed that some people, if you tell them, don't do this, don't do it, until they get pregnant. And they don't have even a husband, or they get a husband who is irresponsible. And they have to bear the burden of baby alone. Suddenly they wake up, they serve God. Some people, they have to be sacked from a certain job. But I see smart Christians today. I say, you are making a smart change today. I don't want trouble to hit before I change. I am changing now. The season for change is here. Because I'm hearing a certain preaching. And I want to change. Hallelujah. God said, tell my people, make smart changes. Put your hands together for the Lord. Make smart changes. Make smart changes. See, because God is a good God. One, the beautiful thing about this story is that God, Bible says his anger is but for a moment, but his favor a lifetime. Hey, if this man can cry on God, and the Bible says, and God was moved by his entreaty, he heard him and brought him back to his kingdom. I see God restoring you in the name of Jesus. God will restore you this year. You see, when we read the Old Testament, every time our real thinking is that God is an angry God. Because you see a lot of anger in the Old Testament. But read it very carefully. You will see that it shows more of God's compassion. Read all the minor prophets. When you start reading, you will hear that God is angry. I'll destroy them. I'll bring fire. When you call me, I will hear this. By the time you get to the end, he said, I'll show compassion on them again and bring them back to myself. That's the good God we serve. And this year, I see God hearing your cry and hearing your entreaty. He's such a good God. And if he can restore Manasseh, I see God restoring you. In the year of rest, may the Lord bring restoration to your spirit. Put your hands together for Jesus. We'll bring restoration. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 He does restore. And he will bring you, as long as the Bible says, he humbled himself and cried to God for what? Favor. Somebody say favor. See, this is why I love favor. Oh, favor is the sweetest word in the Bible. Grace. He cried to God for what? Favor. And the Lord heard him and restored him. This year, God is bringing you favor. I say, you shall be favored. How many love favor? That's why I taught on 40 lessons, be a favor fan. If such a wicked man, burning his sons, can be favored, you can also be favored. Your change can come. God will restore you and bring you change. But you've got to be what? Smart. Say smart. Say smart. Next Sunday, I'm coming back to this verse if God decides for me. And I'll break it down into the smartness of this man. But for today, I want us to look at how we can make smart changes. One of the ways. Next Sunday, I'll go more into details. But let's go back to our scripture. Matthew chapter 10, verse 16. Let's finish on the serpent tonight. Hallelujah. Amen. How can we make smart changes? Be wise as what? Be wise as what? Serpent. The serpent is a smart animal. It knows how to what? Metamorphosize. It knows how to change. Don't wait for trouble to come before you change. You can be smart and change yourself before trouble strikes. Am I preaching to somebody here? Yep. I am sending you out like what? Sheep among what? Wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd or wise as what? Serpent, and innocent as what? Doves. Now watch this. Do you notice that all these three animals, they can change their skin? All of them, some are the sheep, they sear their what? Their skin into wool. Their skin can be cut into wool. The serpent can shed its skin. The same thing with the dove. Sometimes it molds some of its feathers away so that new feathers can come. Listen, all the three things God compared us to, it changes its skin. That means it is possible for you to change yourself. Am I speaking to somebody here? You can change yourself. It's possible. He said, we should be like the sheep among wolves, shrewd as snakes, and what? Innocent as doves. You have the ability inside of you to shed off some attitudes, some habits, to change over, to become another person. You have the ability. And I'm praying that this year, that change will occur in your life. Say, I'm changing. My status is changing. My speech is changing. My character is changing. My attendance to church is changing. All these three animals have the ability to mold, to change. So you too can change. I said you can change. And God has shown me some five changes that must happen in your life. That is for the subsequent weeks. But for now, we want to look at the smartest of the three is the serpent. Because the serpent changes itself all the time. The dove sometimes, occasionally, not often. The sheep occasionally. But Bible says we should be wise as what? Serpent. And science tells us that serpent is changing itself all the time. From the time of birth to the time it dies, it never stops shedding off its skin. I see you changing all the time. If somebody sees you after 2 years and says, you are the same, nothing has changed about you, it's an insult. Or the son or tear. No, no, no. You must become better. You must improve. Am I speaking to somebody? They must see that something has happened to you. Change all the time. The serpent is changing all the time. And this year, I see you changing. Now, I said the last 2 weeks or so that the problem is that the serpent, the more it grows, the lesser change it happens. When it's young, it changes often. But the more it grows, then it changes once in a year or twice in a year. And listen to me, the more you grow, the more difficult for you to change. But you still change all the same. Because you are being wise, you are being smart. I say you are being smart. Hallelujah. And we said that the serpent changes for two major reasons. What are they? Number one, for what? For what? Growth. The serpent won't grow if it doesn't what? Molt or shed the skin. This year, I see you growing. As I see you growing, 2017, may growth come into your life. Spiritual growth. Your prayer life will grow. Your Bible study life will grow. Your patience level must grow. Listen, you must get better. Our lives must get better. Growth is something that must happen to the Christian all the time. Not when trouble strikes. Make a smart change. This is just introduction because I want to finish with a separate issue. Then we'll zoom into how to make smart moves starting from Sunday. And I see you making a smart move. The serpent knows how to change. It is very wise. It shed off his skin. And the second reason why it shed off his skin is to take away parasites that has stuck into the skin. Parasites. Are there any parasites that have stuck to you? That are eating you away. Destroying your spirituality. No help. Listen, there are some friends, 2017, you must delete them from your Facebook lists. They are parasites. You must delete them. Am I speaking to somebody here? Parasites will suck your blood. You cannot be a better person with them still around. And the snake sheds off because certain insects are stuck to the skin. And it hasn't got hands and legs to take it out. And so it will be eaten and it can't grow. So he said, let me shed off my skin. What is it that is eating you away? It's time to shed it off. Say, I'm becoming smarter in the name of Jesus. I say, I'm becoming smarter in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. May God help us to become smart and wise like the serpent. Shed off. Ability to shed off. So that we can grow. There are some things, once they are in your life, it stands growth. It stands growth, my friend. It stands growth. Some movies stands growth. Some friendship stands growth. Am I speaking to somebody here? You've got to shut it off. Let the parasite go. And move on. And become better. So last time we learned how they shed off their skin. Number one, what did they do? What did they do? They stop eating and they go into what? Hiding. Telling about the Christmas is over. The eating is, some of you have overeaten. Instead to shed them even some physical flesh. Everything that comes to your house, grow. You are eating. We are indulging small. May discipline come to you. Hallelujah. They stop eating. Listen, a time comes a Christian must put food aside, go into hiding, reflect, and make smart changes. Stop. Even the serpent knows when to stop eating because I'm about to shed off my skin. And next week, we are going to start a longer one, 21 days. Shed off. There are some people, when we choose, say, 21-day fasting, they say, see, Monday. Wednesday, Friday. And there are days that they say, today I'll fast. The moment is 11 a.m. and a certain smell from the kitchen. Say, oh Lord. No wonder you can't shed off some things from your skin. Can I talk to you? Listen to me. I've said that anybody that wants to know discipline, fasting is one of the best ways to know you are disciplined. If you can master food, you can master your life. Food is one of the greatest temptations of man. It has been our problem from Adam to Jesus of Nazareth, food. You know, some people, when they see food, then their legs are shaking. It's more powerful than the last for the opposite sex. What a shock. Amen. But I see you conquering food. The serpent is smart to know when to stop eating and hide and change itself. Metamorphosize, come with a new skin, and that season is here. Stop some eating, hide yourself, make some quality decisions, and come out of that hole in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Smart word changes. Hallelujah. Number two, what did we say? It swims in water in order to soften the skin for it to be able to what? Removed. Swim. What are we swimming in? We are swimming in the Word and in the Holy Ghost. These are the two agents of change, the Word and the Holy Ghost. John 3:5. He that is born of the water and the Spirit. The water and the Spirit is what changes us. The water is the Word and the Holy Ghost is the Spirit. It changes us together. Every effective change in the Christian's life is by the Word and the Spirit. And this year, as you get into the Word and into the Spirit, I see changes coming. The Holy Ghost is the one who transforms us. He changes us. And listen, when the Holy Ghost is changing you, sometimes you don't even see. By the time you are aware, you have shed off some attitude. I see that by the time we hit 31st, certain attitudes are gone out of your life for good. Oh, have you seen Christians that have said, I don't know what happened to me, but somehow I used to have an anger bait, but it's gone. It's gone. This year, I see something disappearing from your life by the Spirit and the Word. The Word and the Spirit. It is that which created this whole world. It changed the chaos. The Spirit moved on the surface of the earth and God spoke. And suddenly there were changes. Light came. Water came. There was expanse. It changes everything. Maybe filled with the Word and the Spirit. Put your hands together for the Lord. The Word and the Spirit. So this year, you are going to say, I'm going to be a Word man. I'm going to delve deeper into the Word. Oh, goodness. Church, for Christ's sake, if you are in this church and you are not a Word person, it's a shame. By the grace of God. Because even those outside appreciate the quality of Word we receive here. Every time I meet people, they'll say, Word church, Word based. And that is what changes us. Let the Word and the Spirit, say the Word and the Spirit is bringing us changes. Hallelujah. Number three, and the last one. I read that the serpent, when it wants to change, after swimming in the water and the skin becomes small, soft, listen to me, then it locates a hard substance. Especially a rock. Watch this. I'm closing. It locates what? A rock. And then it what? Uses its head or nose or mouth to rub on the rock. And as it rubs on the rock and rubs on the rock and rubs on the rock, suddenly the skin begins to peel off. And by the time you are aware, everything has been peeled off. And then the new skin appears and then it walks away. Can I talk to somebody? This year, you are finding the rock. I say you are finding the rock which is stronger than you, and you are sticking to the rock and rubbing yourself on the rock. The more you rub yourself to the rock, the more the metamorphosis take place It changes you. This rock is Jesus. As you yoke with Jesus, take my yoke upon yourself and learn from me. Rub with Jesus. Listen, the more you rub with Jesus, the more changes happen in your life. Stop some of the other connections. They are not helpful. They are eating you away. They are not helping you to change. But if you can, listen, it's in twofold. A rock is anything. Listen, a rock is harder than a snake. True or false, the skin of a snake. Please, number one, find a Christian who is stronger than you. And hook up with the person. Walk with the person, talk with the person. It will influence your life. That's number one. But the main rock is who? Is who? Learn from me. Iron sharpeneth iron. The more you rub with Jesus, don't come to church when you want to come. Don't pray when you feel like praying. Rub for skin Jesus. Get intimate, my friend. Get intimate with Jesus. Keep rubbing. Listen, virtually for skin the Lord. Do you know what for skinning is? What a shock. Amen. But he said, the serpent rubs itself on the rock. Because I want to change. I want some things to be removed from myself. And so the closer it is, the closer we rub on Jesus. And listen to me, I know what I'm talking about. The more we rub with Jesus, the more certain things just risk of our lives. How many are going to get intimate with the Lord this year? Intimacy is key. Get closer. Let this rock pour for you. Oil. Let the rock pour out for you milk and honey. Let him help you transform. As you stay close to the things of God, you will see changes happening in your life. And people are about to notice all those changes in your life. I say people are about to notice. I prophesy to you, as you take this teaching seriously, your classmates are going to notice the changes. Your friends are about to notice the changes. Your enemies will even testify that God is with you and something significant has changed in your life. Hallelujah. May that change occur as we rub. As we rub to the rock. The rock is Jesus. As we foreskin it, you will notice that, look, a bit of himself will rub on you. You begin to talk like him. Let me read my last scripture. Look at Acts 4:13. Notice these ordinary people. Notice these ordinary guys. Notice what happened to them. 4:13, please. When they saw the courage of Peter and John, and realized that they were unschooled, ordinary men, they were astonished and they took note that these men, what? Had what? The rock had had an influence on them. Ordinary men becoming extraordinary men. This year, I see you becoming an extraordinary person. Ordinary people, unschooled people, riffraffs, fishermen, by virtue of 3 years of constant rubbing, now their talking changes, their courage changes, the way they preach changes, their temper changes. You know, fishermen are very temperamental. Yo, quiet, my Ibo. Remember Peter? He will pull out the knife and cut somebody's knife. Say, Jesus, should I go to number two? But hey, after 3 years of rubbing on the rock, Bible says everybody in the city took note that Jesus had done something significant in their lives. I prophesy to you, I see smart changes coming into your life. Receive the wisdom of the serpent. And this year, do these three things. And I can speak into your life without a shadow of doubt that your change is here by the grace of God. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Word Explosion with Reverend Simon Apofo, Head Pastor of Grace Hills Chapel. We believe you've been blessed. For this and more life-changing messages, please make a date with us every Monday to Friday from 11:40 a.m. to 12 noon on Spirit 88.3 FM. We invite you to worship with us at Grace Hills Chapel next to Osada House, Edum. Our first service is at 7 a.m. and our second service is at 9 a.m. on Sundays. For more information, please call us on 0264-203040 or 0322-91766 or email us at adumfie@gmail.com. We'll love to hear from you. It's your season of grace.